is not your job to make people believe the gospel. You don't give it its power. God gives the gospel of the message of the gospel its power. Don't think you've got to have everything marshaled up before you open your mouth about Jesus. I mean, just sort of say a prayer, rely on your knowledge of the gospel, and launch a conversation. The gospel has massive, massive power. You can have confidence in it.
This weekend on the Songtime broadcast, we're beginning a new series in the book of Romans. This message from Greg Gilbert will take us to the introduction to the book and just two verses that highlight the power of the gospel and why we shouldn't be ashamed to share it with those around us. But first, we're going to hear from Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, a ministry that keeps us reminded to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering in chains around the world. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Our guest this weekend is Todd Nettleton. He's a good friend of the ministry, and he is a representative from a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. We have them on the broadcast on a regular basis, but they remind us on how to better pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are suffering in chains. I consider it an important ministry, and they have an event coming up that very soon in the first Sunday in November called the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. This is, I think, crucial for many churches to be aware of so that we can join together. Many churches from across the world joining together, committing to pray for the persecuted church. Todd, tell us a little bit about Voice of the Martyrs and what this event is all about, the International Day of Prayer.
The International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians, most churches will celebrate the first Sunday in November. Now, some will be the second Sunday. And if you look at your church calendar and think, man, our November's already booked up, well, do it the last Sunday in October then. Do it the first Sunday in January. You just pick a Sunday, make sure that persecuted Christians are a part of your church congregation, a part of your prayer time, a part of your church family. And as you mentioned, Voice of the Martyrs provides resources. Every year we do a short video. This year, the video focuses on the country of Nepal and a story of a persecuted Christian in Nepal. And so it's a short video you can show maybe in your service to the whole congregation. Maybe it's a Sunday school class, a Bible study group, but it's a perfect kind of springboard to help understand, okay, who are we praying for? What do they look like? What are they going through? What are the challenges they're facing? Okay, now we can pray more knowledgeably, now that we can really lift them up because we have some understanding of what their needs are and what they're facing. And the thing I always remind people of, when we go, when I go, when others here at Voices of the Martyrs go and sit down with persecuted Christians, and one of the questions we ask is, okay, how can we help you? How can American Christians help you? What can they do for you? The first thing they ask us to do every single time we ask that question, the very first thing they say is, well, pray for us. Pray for us, pray for us. And so the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians is a direct response to their number one request, that we pray for them. And so I hope every single church is involved in some way. Now, some churches are going to give the whole service. The pastor's going to preach about persecution. They're going to have a special prayer time. We've actually heard from churches that hold an underground church service where they maybe meet in a different room and you have to know what the knock is to get in the door. And we've heard from churches who just that their prayer time that day, the pastoral prayer time that they have every week, that day it is just focused on persecuted Christians. There's lots of ways to get involved. But like I said, I just hope every church is doing something to say, hey, these are our family members. We're going to remember that. We're going to honor them on this Sunday.
And prayer is such an important reminder. We have to be reminded to pray because in a lot of ways, these countries that we're going to be praying for are out of sight, out of mind. We don't see them very often. We don't hear reports unless you're plugged into Voice of the Martyrs and getting their free magazine. You might not even know that these things are taking place around the world. If you're like me that is kind of plugged out of social media and doesn't watch much news, it's very difficult to get reports. So that's why one of the reasons I'm so grateful for Voice of the Martyrs. But we'd like to instruct our listeners, if you are watching the news and you see a report of something that's happening around the world, it's just a click away to go over to Voice of the Martyrs and find out what's really happening behind the scenes. So check out their website at persecution.com. But with that being said, or is it persecution.org? I always mix it up.
Persecution.com.
Persecution.com. Right. Perfect. Well, one of the reasons we want to have you on the broadcast, and we want to find out what's happening around the world. And obviously, what is often in the forefront of many of our listeners' thoughts and prayers is the Middle East. So give us a little bit of an update of what's happening there.
Well, we actually have some really amazing good news from the Middle East. Last month, a pastor in the Middle East, a pastor who was reaching out to a very unreached people group, was actually making progress. His church was growing. People were coming to faith in Christ. He was kidnapped last month by a terrorist group there, and a really difficult situation. His church members were getting little short video clips of him being mistreated in captivity. The threat was, we're going to hang your pastor. He's going to die. And this is in a part of the world where when one of these terrorist groups gets you, you don't come back from that. like that, the chances of being rescued, the chances of anything working out where you walk away from that are just very, very small. However, God's people prayed. God's people prayed in his church in the Middle East. God's people prayed in America. Others who heard about this pastor prayed, and he was rescued in somewhat of a miraculous way. God used an unbeliever to open the door for him to be rescued. And I don't know all the details. I probably never will know all of the details, but just an amazing answer to prayer for this pastor. He's a young man. He's only been married about 2 years. He and his wife have a 9-month-old baby. And so she was very, very upset, very stressed about him being taken. But this is just an amazing answer to prayer for him to be back home with his family, back with his church family. And one of the things, and I think it's really important, one of the things that he said after he was released was how important scripture memorization was to him. This is a man who came out of a Muslim background. And so a lot of Muslims will memorize big chunks of the Quran as a way of showing their devotion, as a way of, you know, demonstrating, well, I'm, you know, I really am committed to this. Look, I've memorized all of this. He, after he became a Christian, said, well, wait a minute. I need to have that same passion for the Bible, for the true word of God. And so he had memorized big, big chunks of scripture. And he talked about how important that was when he was held with a blindfold on the whole time. So he never knew if it was day or night. They would come in and beat on him occasionally, and just really, really difficult circumstance. But he talked about being able to quote the scriptures and how God would bring those scriptures back to his mind. And one of them was in the Psalms where it says, wait on the Lord. And, you know, you can imagine you're being held hostage, you're being beaten on, you're blindfolded. Wait on the Lord. It's like, Lord, I feel like I've waited long enough. But he said, God would just remind him, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. And that was a powerful message to help him withstand the challenges of that situation. And like I say, just what an amazing answer to prayer. The expectation was, this pastor's not going to survive. Mm-hmm. Like this is a terrible situation. We're probably not going to get him back. It took divine intervention, and God did indeed intervene, and we just praise the Lord.
We've been talking with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, a ministry that keeps us well informed on how to better pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are suffering in chains. It's a ministry that we want to promote to you, and you can get a copy of their free newsletter. Sign up on their website at persecution.com. And of course, if you want to sign up to get all of the great information available for you, the media that they have for the International Day of Prayer coming up in November, you can find that on their website as well. It's a great ministry, one that is such a great comfort to us, a reminder to us of how we are connected with everyone in our faith across the world. It's always a privilege to have Todd with us. Todd, again, thank you for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
It has been my pleasure. I always enjoy our conversations, Adam, so thank you for having me.
Again, if you would like to find out more information about Voice of the Martyrs, you can head over to their website at persecution.com, or you can give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. That's 508-362-7070. Well, today we're starting a new series in the book of Romans, which actually follows a line of study this year already in the Gospel of Luke, which led to our study in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we see the transition between Peter, the apostle in Jerusalem, to Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And he concludes that letter after arriving in Rome. But before he does so, while he's imprisoned in Israel, he writes a letter to the Romans. And that is the letter that we're going to be studying over the next several weekends. In this message, we're going to be looking at the introduction to the book, really just two verses that give us an insight into what this book is all about. It's the message of the gospel, not being ashamed to declare the power of God to save sinners. Here is Greg Gilbert with a closer look at Romans chapter 1.
Romans has always been recognized as one of the most important books in the entire New Testament because it lays out so clearly and so completely the good news of how God saves sinners through Jesus Christ. It was written by the Apostle Paul as a kind of introduction to himself, to the church in Rome, to Christians in Rome. Paul was headed that way to see those Christians. And before he arrived there in Rome, he didn't plant that church. It was there before he ever got there. He had never met them before. And before he arrived in Rome and met them, he wanted to make sure that they knew that he believed and proclaimed the same gospel that they did. Not only that, but Paul also, as an apostle, wanted to address some problems that apparently were cropping up in the Roman church. And the way that he was going to address those problems was not just to give them some moral instruction, not just exhort them to do a certain thing or to stop doing a certain thing. But what he wanted to do was bring to bear the truth and the power of the gospel of Jesus. So that's what he does. So what Paul is doing in 16 and 17 is giving a reason for why he wants to go preach in Rome. You see that up in 15? I am eager, he says, to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, Paul says an absolutely massive amount of stuff here in the space of about 40 Greek words. So you've got this, what you've got is really a tightly packed little gospel bomb in which Paul is essentially explaining why he wants to preach. And if you know anything about Paul and his missionary trips and the endeavors that he made as a Christian, he was driven to preach. What Paul wants you to get as you read those two verses is, look, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel in Ephesus. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel in Philippi. And I'm also not ashamed to preach the gospel to you who are in the eternal capital city of Rome. Why? Because I know that this gospel has massive, unstoppable power. That's why I'm not ashamed of it. And that's why I'm eager to preach it. So here it is. Here's the main idea, I think, of Romans 1, 16 and 17. We can have unshakable confidence in the gospel of Jesus because that gospel is powered by the God of the universe. Now, when I say that you and I as Christians can have unshakable confidence in the gospel because it's powered by the God of the universe, I mean that in every conceivable way. I mean it from top to bottom. So from the beginning, I mean it in your own life. You as a Christian can rest in the gospel. You can find peace in the gospel. You can cling to and embrace the gospel of Jesus because it will never prove insufficient. It will never turn out to be empty. It will never turn out to be untrue. It will never turn out to be not quite as good as promised. And the reason that it will never turn out to be empty or not as good as promised is because it is powered and backed up not just by some human word, not just by some human institution, but by the God who created the universe and holds the whole thing together. It's his word that makes the gospel powerful. So I'm talking about confidence in the gospel in your own life, but I'm also telling you, when I say that you can have unshakable confidence in the gospel, I'm also telling you that you can have that unshakable confidence in the gospel as you talk to other people and tell it to them. And there is just massive freedom in knowing that this message is different from every other message. And the reason it's different from every other message is because God himself has determined that this is what he's going to use to give spiritual life to people. So I know that speaking the gospel to people, whether it's a neighbor or a coworker or a friend or a fellow student or somebody sitting next to you on a plane. I know that that kind of thing can just be filled up with all kinds of fear. Like, I hope I say it right, and I hope I don't say something wrong. And what if they ask a question that I'm not going to be able to answer? There are all kinds of fears that attend something like that. But what I want you to know today is that you don't have to have that kind of fear. Because the word of the gospel, the message of the gospel, is not powered by you. It's powered by God. So speak it and let him work. Let me take just a second and explain to you, just in a couple of sentences, what the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Because that's what the word gospel means. So what is that good news of Christianity? Well, what he's talking about is that even though you and I and all human beings are rebels and sinners against God, and even though we deserve to fall under God's eternal and righteous and just wrath for that sin and that rebellion against him, God, because he loves sinners like us, sent his son Jesus to live the life that we should have lived right from the beginning. Not one that's full of sin and rebellion and unrighteousness, but one that's full of absolute obedience to his Father. Absolute grace, absolute mercy, absolute righteousness. That kind of life. Then to die the death that you and I deserve for our rebellion against God. And then to rise again from the grave. So that if we are united to him by faith, we'll rise right along with him to new spiritual life. See, that's what Paul is going to unfold through the rest of the book. That's the news that he's talking about. And he says that that message, that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God for salvation. Now don't run over that too quickly. Look at verse 16 and look at it very carefully. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. Now notice what he doesn't say there in verse 16. He does not say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a powerful message. It's not what he says. He actually says this incredible thing, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. This message of the gospel is backed and powered and electrified by God himself. And there is no other message in the world that is like that. What it means is that when this message goes out, it goes out with the power to raise the dead. It goes out with the power to change the heart. It goes out as the one message that God himself, the one who created the world, has said, this is the means by which I'm going to give dead people life. This is it. There's no other means. There's no other way it's going to happen. There's no other tool that you can pick up and give a spiritually dead person life. God has said, this is the tool. This is it. The one tool that I'll use to bring spiritual life is the message of the gospel. Now, if you're a Christian here this evening, I want you to take just a minute and just stand back for just a second and be shocked at all of this. And just take a couple of minutes, just take a few seconds here and just stand back in a little bit of amazement at what it means that you are a believer in Jesus Christ at all. Look, if you're like me and you get a little bit nervous when you're kind of one-on-one preaching, proclaiming the gospel to somebody, then take heart with this. It is not your job to make people believe the gospel. You don't give it its power. God gives the gospel of the message of the gospel its power. Don't think you've got to have everything marshaled up before you open your mouth about Jesus. I mean, just sort of say a prayer, rely on your knowledge of the gospel, and launch a conversation. The gospel has massive, massive power. You can have confidence in it.
When thinking about the power of the gospel, all you have to do is remember your own story, your own testimony, how you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember, the Apostle Paul is writing to believers. He's writing to a church, and the rest of this letter will unpack the riches and the wonders of the gospel. But when it comes to understanding the power of the gospel, you have experienced it. If you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you've gone from darkness to light, from dead to alive, then you understand that the impact of the gospel to change and transform a life. And when you understand that, you want to share that with those around you. Now, over time, we get intimidated, we get doubts, and all of these other excuses creep in. But let me encourage you, the same gospel that had the power to save you, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, is the same power that will save the people around you. preach the gospel. It is the words themselves that are so important. Let me encourage you to know the gospel, to articulate the gospel, to sit with the gospel, and to share that gospel with those you love. What is that message? It's the good news that Christ, who lived a perfect life, the Son of God, God Himself, became flesh and dwelt among us, and without sin, He went to the cross to die for your sins and my sins, and the wrath of God was poured on Him. And our place, He became our substitutionary atonement so that He would be the one to be punished for our sins, so that we would be the ones to be rewarded for His righteousness. That is the declaration of righteousness that we wear, the crown of righteousness and the robes of His righteousness. We are not wearing our own robes, our own crowns. They are His, that we stand before God declared righteous. I hope that this encourages you, and as you meditate on it, I hope that you have somebody already in mind that you want to share with this great message, the power of the gospel. Let us know who you're praying for, who you want prayer for in your life that needs to hear the gospel, and who and how you're planning on sharing that with them. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com or look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Romans 1, 16 and 17. You probably knew where I was going with this, didn't you? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.